As part of a grant to document and explore the founding of the Cedar Mill Community Library over 35 years ago, we've recorded conversations with several of the library founders. This interview is with Mary Packer, an early library supporter who became an influential board member and volunteer as the library group. Enjoy.
If you could tell us your name and a little bit about your family and maybe how long you've lived in Cedar Mill.
Well, I'm Mary Packer, and we moved here in 1975. My husband had worked for Ralph's Grocery Company down in California, and then got a job with Fred Meyer running their dairy plant. So came up here earlier with one of our children, and then we followed in September. We have six children. Three of them came with us, and three were older and stayed down there on their own at that time, but they all eventually came here. So when we first arrived and bought a house up in Lost Park, and the welcome wagon lady came to visit, and the first thing I asked about was the library, because we had chosen a different house and that didn't work out, and so we had looked at this house. And anyway, she said that they were just getting started in starting a library. And we were avid users of the library where we lived in Fullerton and in Arcadia in California. So coincidentally, one of our neighbors was a friend of my daughter's, or they made friends, and her father, Fred Greger, was one of the starters, or was very involved in this program. And so at the time they were having an open house and the ice cream social and having an ice cream social. So Susie insisted that we go, and so we went as a family and signed the big certificate that they had at the time, the poster, and started getting involved. And so it was through that I decided that would be a good way to get acquainted with people in the community. Oh, okay. I had done Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts and all of that stuff in our prior location and thought this was a good thing. So that's how I became involved. I wasn't really involved in the initial setup of the organization. Mm, okay. They had already established, I think, their nonprofit status at that time. So
about what year was that?
Well, I came in 75 in September, so I think the works had started in 74.
Okay.
And I think they had the nonprofit status at that time. I'm not positive about that.
Okay.
I don't remember exactly. I remember the opening and being involved then. One of the first things that I did was I was involved in cataloging. And
wow.
Yeah. And I did nonfiction. And at the time, WCCLS also was started, and so they were already there. And
that's the Washington County Cooperative Library System.
Through them and PCC, they offered a lot of classes for in library work. And so we all took some of those classes. Hmm. And we also, in doing the cataloging, we went down to, well, first we looked at Beaverton, and were really disappointed in their method of cataloging.
Uh-huh.
And so we went downtown and we used some reference material that they had down there, and I guess did a fairly good job of, at least we were recognized for that, for doing good cataloging. And then there were so many people in the community that were involved in different ways at that time. Andy Anderson and his wife Polly were some of the volunteers, and he was a real He did a lot of construction work, and so he built card catalog, built shelves for us, and that kind of thing. So it was...
So what? I'm curious where the books were coming from.
Oh, they were all donated. The books were all donated, and there was, they just came in hordes, mm-hmm. and there was a good deal of controversy at the time because of not, some of them, of course, were very outdated, mm-hmm. and so there was this difficulty about what are we going to do with these books, and so disposing of them became an issue because people thought, well, we donated them, they need to be used, and if you're not using them, send them to some reservations or things like that. And then we thought, well, why should we send misinformation or old stuff to...
Right.
And so there was an issue about that, but it, you know, eventually all just calmed down and people realized what our goal was, and that we couldn't, you know, use all that material.
It sounds like you got involved in the process kind of midway.
Well, yeah.
Did they have a location at that point when you got involved, or did they know
yes,
where it was going to be?
Yeah.
And how did, do you know kind of how that came about?
Well, because Mr. Bales offered us the space down here, mm-hmm. and at a reasonable rate, and so that's where it opened up. But they had originally planned to open a small library up on 107th and Cornell,
oh, okay.
in a little, it was a storefront of some kind, and eventually just a preschool took that property, and it was going to be a 7-Eleven or something like that, and the residents weren't happy about that. So that was going to be, and there was a bookmobile up there at the time, and so that was the beginning, actually, was the bookmobile, and then from there we moved to Bales location.
So was it was a bookmobile with the books that you guys had been collecting?
I believe so,
yeah.
Yes.
So it wasn't associated with any established library?
No, okay. It was. The founders really worked hard to keep the ball rolling. Fred Greger and Joyce Stride were kind of, took care of the library itself and getting that rolling and set up and all of that. And then it just grew by leaps and bounds, just took off right from the start. And we had a lot of different programs going, just like you do today, to get the community involved. And also for fundraising, we worked with the high school. We just did everything we could to get different kinds of elements in the community to become aware of the library.
Okay.
And it seemed to work well.
And when was the opening date? Do you remember?
It was in January of 1976.
Okay.
Don't know the exact day. Could have been, you know, right after the first, but sometime in January.
And were you a part of Washington County immediately from the start? Or?
Well, I'm not sure. I think that sort of all developed in that first year.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that we had these different classes that were sponsored by PCC, but I know that WCCLS also had some help in getting those going.
Since you weren't around when they had the nonprofit status already, do you know anything about how that came about, or what are your memories about why they decided to go that route?
Well, because I think that was the only route they could go. Mm-hmm. There just wasn't, you know, we weren't a community, a city, and the folks wanted something right here in Cedar Mill so that it would be community-based rather than, I don't think that they ever talked to Beaverton, I'm not sure, about,
okay.
you know, being a part of that. But I know that the residents here had to pay to use Beaverton and also to use Portland and Multnomah County
oh, really?
Library.
Okay.
Yeah, so this then would be a non-fee for the residents, for the people in this area.
Okay.
over the people throughout the county.
It's a good reason to start your own library, it sounds like. So what were the main obstacles that you personally came across in the first, in the leading up to the library opening, and then maybe the first year?
Well, I think one of the biggest obstacles, not necessarily an obstacle, but was just getting recognition that we were serious and that it was really a library and not just a joke.
Okay.
And, just to have credibility that we were doing things in the proper manner and doing things the right way. So I think that was the obstacle, because the community just, came right in and supported us, and there was, I don't think, ever a problem getting sufficient volunteers, and our children's program just took off beautifully. I mean, as far as storytelling, Jeanette Gill, who you'll talk to later, was very involved in that, and so we had terrific turnouts in that space down there where it could hardly hold, all the people that were involved. And so that's when the move came to move up to this location.
So was the criticism coming from outside the community?
Yes.
Other libraries?
Yes.
Or is it,
okay.
Now, how was the library staffed in the beginning?
All volunteers.
Okay.
And let's see. And I'm trying to think what our process was. I think at one time people wrote their names on the card, and then that became questionable because other people would see who had, was reading the books, etc. And so I know that changed, and I'm forgetting exactly how that process worked. But anyway, we also worked at getting grants at the time. We worked hard at getting members of the community to join the association so that we could use those funds for eventually purchasing books. And so we did start then, purchasing books also when we had enough funds.
So the initial funds came solely from people joining the association?
Yes. Mm-hmm,
wow.
Mm-hmm. And then I think we held our first mass the second year that we were open and earned $2,000 or something like that.
So what's the mass?
The mass is the miscellaneous, et cetera, super sale.
Oh, okay. So did that eventually lead to second edition?
Yes, Because we did that on an annual basis, and each chairman tried to outdo the previous chairman in the funds raised. So I think in the final years we were raising something like $16,000 in that one event. And we were running out of, people housed things in their garages, and then it was brought to the Bales location, Thriftway location, for the sale. And then we were offered space at C.E. Mason School, and so that gave us a lot more space. And so that's when it really began to grow. And then we were no longer able to have that space, and that's when we started thinking about the resale shop. Mm-hmm. We had thought about it previously because there was a little white house somewhere next to the gas station down there. And for a couple of years, before the actual mess sale, we housed some clothing and odds and ends there and opened it for a few hours, a couple days a week. And that was very popular in the community, so that gave us the initial thought about a resale shop. And so then when we lost that space, everybody was talking about having a resale shop, and so I got a group together, and we, Jack Thurber was involved in that, and a number of other people, just to setting up how are we going to find out if it would be viable and what do we need to do? So we went and interviewed all of the other resale shops, or very many of them, nonprofit and profit, in the Portland area, and sort of took the best ideas from, gathered what we thought were the better ideas, mm-hmm. and they were all extremely helpful to us, and took those and got started.
About what year was that?
That was in 1987.
Okay.
And so that first year we made $33,000. And we, the association or the board approved our project, and then they gave us $6,000 for startup money, and we gave that all back to them. So.
Right. Did you have to carve out a space here, or was it at a different location for a while?
Well, it was here. DMV used to be located at the end of this building, and so then they were moving out of that space, and we were able to get that space.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like Cedar Mill became a part of WCCLS pretty early on then.
Yes, they did, yeah. And as I say, Fred Greger and Joyce Stride kind of took over coordinating the library activities that first year. And then at the end of that year, they asked me if I would do that. And so I said yes. And so then I was sort of coordinator of the library. And after that year, then we were able to hire Kathy Mann under the CETA program, where the wages were paid by the government somehow. Yeah, so it got young people coming out of school the ability to get a job, and so they were funded through the CETA program. I'm not sure if the total wage was or just part of it, but it was a program that the government sponsored. And so Kathy was with us then.
Was she a librarian? Or?
Yes, yeah. Okay. She had a degree. And then after her, we had another librarian, Greg Smoots, and then John came in after that, and then Peter.
Okay.
So was that coordinated, that effort? And I think just before that, I also was, or after that effort, I was volunteer coordinator for a while. And so I attended all of the board meetings for about 10 years.
Wow.
Because of just reporting to them on the activities, and then I became a member of the board and went through the ranks there.
So we talked about some of the difficulties in the first year. So since you were involved in the first 10 years or so,
yeah.
So intimately, what were the big challenges during that time?
I think, we were always... the biggest challenge, I think, was the fundraising and getting funds to keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
And just the one of the things I remember, aside from the money, was just getting everything done and thinking, wow, if we get this done, we'll be caught up. And then we realized that if we ever caught up, we would not be viable.
Yeah.
And so it's just been wonderful to see that continue as this place has just grown and expanded, and it's just, exactly step by step what happened all along the way. We mm-hmm. were just always not having enough space, not having enough material, not having enough as the community just grew around us. And
yeah.
So it's just wonderful that momentum has been, has continued, because there was a lot of momentum and public support when I was always on the phone calling for volunteers at one point, or volunteers for the mess, and the minute they heard my name in Cedar Mill, okay, I will do it again.
Yeah.
And so the community was extremely supportive. And also we went, we did a lot of things with AM Northwest. We appeared on that.
Uh-huh.
And got our name in the newspaper. So we did a lot of outreach in the community to have our name seen and our activities reported on.
Okay.
And we got a lot of good support from all of those agencies that we went to. Harry Bodine was a reporter at the time.
Oh, okay.
So we always got him, you know, got him to say a few good words about us. And AM Northwest was always very cooperative. So that those were some of the things that we did to stay alive, but it all helped. However, the community was just extremely supportive and continued to donate books, and we were then, you know, had a budget where we could buy books.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm thinking that Mary Jane was our first paid employee outside of CETA.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So she was here early on, yeah.
So when you look back now, I mean, you talked a little bit about this, but thinking of where the library's at now, is this, could you have ever imagined that it would be a library this size working this way with a branch library?
Yes, yes. It isn't a surprise, let me put it that way, yeah.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, that's what we were, you know, that was the whole hope that it would, you know, be here forever and that it would continue to grow to meet the needs of the community in many ways. And we were, you know, early on always very interested in the growth of the children's area and reaching out to the children in the community.
Mm-hmm. So do you have any advice to other communities who are looking at doing something similar? I know there's a group in Aloha that's doing something, trying to establish a library over there.
Well, I think it's really important to reach out to as many different segments of the community as you can and to, you know, get as many forces involved as possible and to keep them going. And my feeling always was that for each volunteer that you have the core of a support group in the community. And so the more volunteers you have, the bigger your core of support grows. And I think that's what's kept our levies passing, is because we have a lot of volunteers and each one of them has a lot of friends and influence, you know, within a certain group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that way it really gets a lot of support throughout the community.
Okay, great.
So that would be my advice, is to, you know, just get a lot of volunteers and get their support and go from there.
Yeah, that sounds like good advice. Well, that's the extent of our questions. Is there anything else you want to add that you've thought of while you've been going through these?
Well, it was just a great experience for me, and of course I'm still involved and will be until I can't do it. But and it's just rewarding to see, you know, what has happened, and I've been rewarded by having wonderful friends as a result of all of this. I guess one of the things that surprises me, or not really, it's just that the technology that has changed the way that the library is seen now with computers and all of that. So just in general, and
I'm sure,
not specific to our library, but all of them, and how it still is a great resource providing all of those new technologies.
At this point, Mary added a few more details about the resale shop and second edition, which we added here.
A store, but a resale shop that was had high standards, because that's what he wanted in the community, rather than just another Goodwill kind of store.
Okay.
So, and we've done that. We've made it a first-class shop all along. And then when we were having the mess, Ken Finley was also on our board along the way, so he would be a good resource also. But he was always very supportive of, you know, giving us equipment and just all kinds of help in setting up and, you know, allowing us to use their property for the sale, and just giving us as much help as as we needed. So that was always appreciated.
So I'm not familiar with what business did he...
Ken Finley was Otis Bales' stepson.
Oh, okay.
And so he was part of the Bales organization. And we would go and tell our sad story or our interesting story to furniture suppliers, anything that we needed, we would go in force with a couple of us and give our wonderful story and get discounts and get donations. Maury got a lot of donations through Fred Meyer when we set up the resale shop. They had a lot of extra materials, fixtures that we got from them, and so we just went wherever we could and got what we could get for less than anyone else was paying. Yeah. So that helped a lot. That was, you know, one of the challenges that went along with not enough funding. We just never could buy anything without, you know, getting some kind of a discount. So they all knew us down there in Southeast Business mm-hmm. District where they were selling things. And we would go through their warehouses and find Grand and Benedict's had a used section, and we would, like, it was seven stories, and roam through that, finding what we needed and getting it for sometimes, oh, well, you can just have that, you know. Yeah. So that was both for the library and for Second Edition.
Great.
Lee Brenner was great at it, too. She would go and get all kinds of stuff, so.
Well, thank you very much for coming to talk to us about this.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.